Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole-ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
All right. Hold on to your butts. I'm having issues with my internet again. It's so fucking slow today. And just trying to do some basic audio tests for this episode and trying to just like, they're like 30 second clips, trying to download those. But it wasn't, I sat here on my ass for like 15 minutes waiting. The internet is so fucking slow. So hopefully this sounds okay. I'm really hoping. I'm going out on a limb here because I don't want to wait anymore is what it boils down to. Because I could wait and be patient. I just don't fucking feel like it. How's that for an intro? Hello. I'm your host, Amanda, and I'm in a mood today, apparently. Okay. If you're just listening to this, it would have no bearing on you, but my webcam was like slowly going up. I had to fix that quick. Jesus, I'm a hot mess express today, I guess, guys, but I like to keep it real here, which is something that I'm like really fully embracing now. In my business this second year is just being really authentic. The first year, I went back and forth with like being real and authentic and also trying to provide value and trying to like always be the best version of myself. But that's just not real. It's not what real people are like. And I was talking to one of my current clients and I asked her, I was just like, so let me, if I could ask you, just what exactly was it that made you say yes to me specifically? Because there's so many life coaches out there. And she said, it's just because you're so authentic. Like I immediately felt like I knew who you were and you were a real person. And you didn't try to like sugarcoat life. You know, you're just like, yeah, this is really hard. Like this aspect is really hard, but I can help you. And so I am really like leaning fully into that, which just isn't really done in the life coaching industry. Most life coaches will work through something hard in their personal life and they'll wait to share it with their audience until they've gone all the way through it, until they've like, they're on the other side, they're fully emotionally stable again, and they've learned the lesson and they can put together like a really impactful, you know, podcast episode or lesson or like however they're putting their stuff out there. They'll wait until they get through all the messy bits and then not really share all the messy bits. Or if they do share some of the messy bits, it's from the place of like, but I'm on the other side now, everything's good. And then there are life coaches who try to sell happiness, like eternal happiness and never getting stressed anymore. And it's just bullshit. It just is. I know why they're doing that, but it just doesn't feel good to me. And that's not the point of life. The point of life is not for it to be without stress and completely happy and unicorns and rainbows shooting out your asshole. It just never would be. And it would be boring if we're being truly honest with ourselves. Like, we would get bored, which I've talked about many times before, but it bears repeating. I wanted to talk about the Eras Tour in my little intro here because I finally got to watch it and oh my God, she has fucking outdid herself. Taylor Swift, I'm over here applauding you, girl. I saw her in concert for her Reputation tour and was like blown away with how like talented she is and just her stamina, because she just sings and sings and sings and sings. She only takes a break to go change her costume. You never see her drinking water on stage, which means like she'll go those, you know, however many songs that she sang in the one costume and waits until she gets backstage to take a sip of water. I don't know how she does that. But the Eras Tour was next fucking level. Oh my God. The stamina of that woman. I like actually Googled. I was like, what was her self-care routine, like getting ready for this tour and like keeping it up, because it's a fucking 3.5 hour show. She sang over 40 songs live. Like, she's actually singing and she's walking the length of this huge stage and dancing with her dancers, and she's playing the piano, she's playing guitar, she's talking to the audience, just going and going and going and going. And I'm like, Jesus, how are you alive? Oh my gosh, it's crazy. So she actually started like preparing herself months in advance. I think it was like 6 months in advance for this tour. And she was singing the full set list on the treadmill every single day. And she would ramp up the speed if it was like a fast song and then slow it down if it was a slow song. That she was doing, she was singing full out her whole set list on the fucking treadmill. And she didn't quit. I would have quit. I would have quit, guys. I would have been like, that was a fun idea I had and we're going to change it. I love Taylor Swift. She's just so talented and gutsy. I love how she has changed genres in music so many times and kicked ass and just excelled every single time. Because it then, like, she's giving permission for other artists to do the same. And now Beyonce came out with a fucking country album, which I listened to back to back. Or cover to cover, twice yesterday. That album is so good. It's not pure country. It's like country fusion. It's new. It's something. It's something new, and it's so good. Fuck yes, Beyonce. Thank you for doing this, for having the balls to fucking like just reinvent yourself and reinvent a genre, because that's what she's doing. And I know some of you are going to feel some type of way about me saying this, but she has Taylor Swift to thank for that. Because Taylor was one of the first artists who was able to switch genres and do it super successfully, like super, super successfully. Every time she just keeps like up leveling her own success. It's so inspiring to watch. It's so incredibly inspiring to watch. So if you haven't seen the Eras Tour yet, it's on Disney Plus. Go watch it. I had to watch it in segments because of my children. None of them are like super hardcore Taylor Swift fans, which breaks my heart. My middles are really big Billie Eilish fans. So they're like in a phase right now where they're just like, Taylor Swift has nothing on Billie. And I'm like, bitch, please. But whatever, they'll grow out of it. So I watched it in segments. I finally finished it up last night. God, it's so good. I wasn't sure if I was going to really like enjoy watching a recording of a concert because concerts are meant to be experienced in person. I feel they're meant to be experienced in person. It is really good. The filmed version is really good too. And I fucking watched all 3.5 hours of it. It was amazing. The effects were amazing. Dancing was amazing. I love how she had a diverse crew up there. She had different body sizes, different ethnicities. Like everyone was represented on that stage with Taylor Swift. And she's just such a good person. I always read and hear about like people who've worked with her, just like she's a really good person. She really takes care of the people who work for her. She gave away $55 million in bonuses to all of the employees who worked on the Eras tour, along with a handwritten note thanking them. Who the fuck does that? Who the fuck does that? Taylor Swift does that. I love her indefinitely. She's a beautiful soul. She's so fucking talented. Her songwriting skills, just fucking A, man. And the fact that she actually plays instruments too. Like, she's an artist through and through. She's a brilliant businesswoman. And she takes care of her people, which I really adore her for, because I hate hearing stories of like celebrities treating their dancers like shit, treating their staff like shit. It's just so disappointing. Like the thing with Lizzo and her like fat shaming her dancers. It was so heartbreaking when I found that out, because I fucking loved Lizzo. It was really disappointing. But Taylor's the real deal. And I, you know, she works her ass off. She deserves every bit of success that she has, and she pays it forward. So she deserves to keep it. Go watch the Eras Tour. Even if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, I listen to a podcast, the Low Life podcast, which I've mentioned on here before. He was not a Taylor Swift fan. He's like I like a couple of her songs. She's not, in general, not really like my jam. Someone took him to the Eras Tour and he left a Taylor Swift fan. And listening to his perspective of the concert going experience as a, like, he didn't hate Taylor Swift, he just didn't love her either, was really interesting. So I decided to put my Taylor red lips on today. If you're watching the video, if you're not, you can hear about it in honor of Taylor today. I love that bitch. And I'm going to watch that, the Eras Tour again. I want to rewatch the first half, that I had watched, you know, in pieces with my kids, because there were some bits that I missed. We were also making churros at the same time. I missed the part of her giving her fedora to Kobe Bryant's daughter who was in the audience. I'm going to rewatch the first half without children, because they're with their dad this week. But I cooked so much food this last week. It was Easter weekend this last weekend. And if you're new here, or like, whatever, if you haven't been keeping up with my recent podcast episodes, I was talking about how I'd been in a depression for the first couple months of this year, and how I was slowly coming out of it. So it wasn't like a thing where, you know, I woke up one morning and poof, I felt like myself again. It's been a slow progression, and I've just been accepting that and allowing it to take as long as it's going to take. This last week was the first week where I really felt like myself again, which was so nice. But then I also had to challenge that thought of I feel like myself, because I was still myself when I was in my depression. I've had multiple depressive spells of varying lengths and severity. That's still me. And I've been working really hard on accepting my depression and allowing it. And so when I when I heard myself say that, like, it feels so good to be, like, I feel like myself again. I immediately questioned it because I was like, well, then that's me rejecting me when I was depressed. Like, that's not me. I wasn't myself. And I'm going to think more on that and elaborate more because I think it'll be really helpful for me and for other people who also experience depression, because let's face it, a lot of us do. I think it's a very human thing to experience depression. And I also know and truly believe that depression can be for you. And I talk more about that in my episode. It was pretty recent, Holding Hands with My Depression. I'll link it in the show notes so you can go check that out. But what's my point? Oh, I cooked a bunch of food this last week. I'm always cooking. Obviously, I have four fucking kids. It's a lot of food that's eaten in this house. When I was in like the thick of it with my depression, it really was like, it felt like such a chore to keep up with the dinners and the dishes. And I did it, but very begrudgingly, very like, you know, like as if my, if I was walking somewhere and my feet were just like stuck in really sticky mud, it just took longer. It wasn't enjoyable. Did it, got through it, but painfully so. And this last week, I was just like cooking and cooking and cooking and cooking, and it didn't feel that way anymore, which felt nice. Had to make my peace with all of the cooking I have to do. It's so much. Food preparation for a family is a full-time job in and of itself. There's not enough spoken about that because it's intense. It's all consuming. It never fucking ends at all. And I'm someone who, in general, I would say enjoys cooking. I like making food, but having children kind of ruined it for me. Because they had to do so much of it. And then they're picky little shits. And, you know, someone won't like this and another won't like that. And that just is exhausting. I'm like, fuck you. Just eat it. Go mi caca. Like, I'm done. I've been slaving away in this fucking kitchen in my spare time as a full-time working mom, dance mom, in between driving your asses to school and dance. I've been in the kitchen fucking slaving away. You're going to eat it. But this last week, the kitchen and I had a positive experience together. For Easter, I decided to do carnitas. I love carnitas so much. My favorite restaurant out here is called Azul Tequila. And my favorite dish, I get it every time I go. A couple times that I've variated, I was like, ugh, should have just gone with my carnitas. Is their street tacos with carnitas. It comes with rice and beans on the side. Mwah. It's perfect. They serve it with salsa verde. I said that super white. Sometimes I will pronounce Spanish words with a perfect accent, and sometimes I sound like the most white person ever. And this is what it's like to be mixed and not speak both languages fluently. But I really wanted to try to make my own, and they were really good, guys. Like, I'm just going to brag a little bit. They were delish. I did it in the Instapot. So the meat was super tender and juicy. And then I threw that in my, when it was done cooking, shredded it and crisped it up in my, oh, what is that pan called? Cast iron skillet. The cast iron skillet. That took way too long for me to think of. And I could see it in my head. And I could see like Rapunzel, you know, wielding it as a fucking weapon. And I'm like, could not think of the word. Couldn't think of the words. Fried it in, or crisped it up in the cast iron skillet. Oh God, it was everything that I could have hoped for. The seasoning needs a little bit of tweaking. It wasn't quite on Azul Tequila level, but it's close. It's pretty fucking close, and I'm really excited. When I nail it, I will share the recipe with anybody who gives a shit. So for Easter, I did, it was like a smorgasbord of stuff. So we had carnitas to throw into tacos, and I did Spanish rice and my mom's potato salad, which I understand does not go with Mexican food. But you know what? That's my heritage. I am mixed. I'm Mexican on my dad's side. And then my mom is biracial. She's half Black, half white. So it's just like what my family gatherings like looked like. That's just who I am. And I was just embracing it this Easter. I feel like I made something else too, because I knew some of my, oh, Texas hash. It's this ground beef rice dish that my kids really love, because my second born is really picky, and I knew she wasn't really going to go for the carnitas, and I wasn't sure about the third child either. So I wanted to have something that I knew everybody was going to like. And so we had a fucking feast, and then we made churros for dessert, and they were really good. Although I didn't have the right piping tip. You need to have an open star. So that way the middle of the churro like actually has like some like depth to it. I had a closed star. So you bit into the churro and the inside, the middle was like, it was like pinched, but still pretty tasty. But yeah, I was in the kitchen making churros and I missed really all the Red era, because I was in the fucking kitchen. So definitely rewatching it. And I recommend you check it out. So if you are new here, welcome to Fuck It Mothering. I'm so glad that you're here. This is a safe space for women to come and just be themselves, be the person outside of that kid's mom. Like, because once we become moms, everything is about the kid, and we even like lose our, not even, we definitely lose our identities in motherhood. So many people don't even know your name, right? The other parents that you meet at the playground or at school or at whatever extracurricular activity your kid does, those people know you as that kid's mom. So if your kid's name is Brett or Devin or whatever, oh, you're Brett's mom. Oh, you're Devin's mom. For me, it's, oh, you're Eowyn, Aria, Laurel, and Oswin's mom. You're the girl's mom. And this is a space where I get to be Amanda and you get to be you, yourself outside of being a mom. Yes, we talk about motherhood, obviously. That's like the thing that unites all of us. But something that really sets me apart in the professional parenting, I want to say, what am I looking for? Like, I'm not a parenting expert at all. I will never market myself as that. I never aspire to be that, because my philosophy of parenting is very different from what is pumped out into mainstream media. Mainstream media pumps out all of these techniques, all of these different strategies, all of these different things for you to try, you know, in your parenting. So you could be like a gentle parent, or you're an authoritative parent, or you're a no screens family, or like all this different stuff. And each one is toting that it's the best. It's the best version for everybody. It's the healthiest way to parent. That's bullshit. There is no one right way. There is no one healthiest version for everybody. And that's what sets me apart. I know that I know that I know that it actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you do timeouts, or if you spank your kids, or if you let your kids have all the screen time, or if you only let them have like a certain amount of screen time, if you're a gentle parent or a not gentle parent, if you're like a free range mom, or if you're a very structured mom, none of that shit matters. It matters in the sense of it's what works for you and your children and your family. But all those kids that come from all of those different backgrounds and structures and systems and parenting strategies, like they were all parented differently. They're all perfectly fine humans. Some of them are shitbags. I mean, that's just life. You're going to get like some shitbags and some great humans. For the most part, I believe in the goodness of humanity. But it doesn't, it, you can't boil it down. You can take like a whole list of shitbag humans and look at the way that they were raised. All of them are going to be raised differently. And simultaneously, you can take a list of great humans. All of this is so subjective too. If you're just listening to this podcast and you can't see my face, I'm like cringing and rolling my eyes as I'm saying all of these things, because shitbag and good human, totally subjective. But in general, let's just go with generalizations. Take a list of humans who, in general, the majority of people agree you're a good person, and they were all brought up differently. Okay. Which is why you're never going to find me, Amanda Harrow, giving you specific parenting advice. That is not what I'm here for. And I know that that's frustrating for some people, probably a lot of people, probably every person who comes to my content is hoping for some kind of, ooh, what's her shtick? What's her strategy? Maybe it'll work for me. But you're only doing that because, or you're only thinking that way because you think that you would be less stressed, or you would feel better in general. Your life would feel better. You would feel better. You would feel more content, not as stressed out. You would have a better relationship with your kids, with your partner, whatever, if your kids acted a certain way, or if your partner acted a certain way. But we're talking about parenting strategies today. So you think that the reason behind your burnout and overwhelm and stress and anxiety, and the reason why you can't sleep at night, is because fill in the blank of whatever thing that you don't really like about your kid. But that's not true. And here's how you know it's not true. Here's how you can start investigating whether that's actually true for you, because you've probably tried a bunch of different parenting techniques, right? You've gone to Instagram, TikTok, wherever, a different podcast, and they taught you a method and you integrated it. You're like, yes, this feels good. I think this is going to work. I think this is the solution. And you try it, and yet you're still stressed out. You still fall back into the cycle, your old cycle of anxiety, worry, stress, burnt out, overwhelmed. But you're just like, well, okay, that method just didn't work for me. That parenting thing didn't work for me. Let's go over here. What does this person have? What does this psychologist have? This child expert, what do they have? Ooh, let's try this. You keep blaming the thing that's outside of you. Because what you don't realize is that it's actually not the things outside of you that are making you miserable. It's your thoughts about those things and about yourself that are making you miserable. And that's why you are still stressed and filled with worry and anxiety, and you're overwhelmed and burnt out no matter which parenting method you try. It is not because you suck. That is abso-fucking-lutely not the problem. You are not the problem. And I know that you think that you are, but you're not. And those methods also are not the problem. The problem is that you're focused on fixing the wrong thing. You're focused on fixing the actions that you're taking. You're focused on fixing the thing about your kid that you think is causing your stress, because you don't realize that it's not things outside of us that cause us to feel anything. It's our thoughts. It's always our thoughts that cause us to feel things. And so you try all these different parenting methods, strategies, techniques from all these experts, and none of it ends up working because you keep taking your same brain with those same shitty thoughts with you with each new thing. And that is why I will never, ever focus on that. You're never going to hear me tooting some parenting strategy as like the only way to raise a kid. Because there's not any one right way. There's a million right ways. And there's really only one wrong way if you're physically, emotionally abusive to your children. That's when you fuck up. That's when it's like, okay, you fucked up. Aside from that, there's no wrong way to do it. But we get so caught up in trying to, we're so convinced that like we're doing it wrong and that's why our kids suck and we're miserable. That's why our kids are tantruming all the time and their tantrums are why we're stressed. Tantrums are a lot. They are overstimulating. But I'm going to challenge you to really investigate your brain when your kid is tantruming next time, because I think you'll find that it's really your thoughts about the tantruming that's actually causing you stress. The biggest one is that you think that there's a problem with the tantrum. They shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be acting this way, especially if you're in public. Then those like ramp up a lot. And you're also start thinking about what other people are thinking about you as a mom. You're thinking about, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Oh my God, I'm the mom at Target with the screaming kid. Great. Now everyone thinks I'm a shitty mom. And everyone's watching me to see how I handle it. And if I discipline them, then some people are going to think that I'm a bitch and, you know, maybe even like low-key abusive. And if I do nothing, then people are going to think that I'm just a doormat. All these things are going on in the background of your brain, but you don't realize it in the moment. All you're focused on is shutting your kid up as fast as possible. And you're also focused on just like the physical sensations of feeling stress in your body. But it's all those background thoughts that are actually causing the stress. It's not your kid throwing themselves on the floor at Target and crying because you said you would not buy them Pokemon cards or whatever it is. It's actually not that. Here are some more examples of some subconscious beliefs and thoughts that I've heard from real people. So one of my clients last year was working through her her just like anxiety of leaving her baby with anybody else and also trying to process her baby's what she deemed as separation anxiety. She said he wasn't ready to come out. And then the birth was really traumatizing for him and me. They had a traumatizing birth experience. And that's why he has attachment issues and why I get so anxious leaving him with other people. That was her belief. Like she hardcore believed that. And I pointed out to her, well, if you choose to keep that belief, then you are placing yourself in the position of being completely powerless to ever change your anxiety and his separation anxiety. Because you've placed that, the reason behind it, the why, outside of you. You've placed it on something that happened in the past. All your authority, you gave it away to something that happened in the past. And that was a really big eye-opening moment for her, where she was like, you're completely right. And that doesn't feel good. Like I want to be able to be in charge of my anxiety. I don't want to be like a victim to this forever. But another one is my partner wanted to have kids, but I wasn't ready yet. I wasn't ready to become a mom. And that's why I'm having such a hard time adjusting. Or it could be my kid cries all the time. If she wasn't losing her shit over every other little thing, I wouldn't be so snappy all the time. or my teenager feels like a stranger. I have no idea what they're thinking. What if they're making choices that are going to ruin their life forever? It's all the screen time. If they weren't addicted to their phone, they would spend more time with the family and then I wouldn't worry all the time. Or I don't care about working on myself. I just want to know how to get my kid to eat. My stress is because my kid is a picky eater, not because I don't have time for myself. Also something that I heard, like a direct quote from a woman. She's just like, I literally don't give a shit about working on myself. I just want to know how to get my kid to eat, because she fully believed the story that her stress was because her kid wouldn't eat. And she didn't realize that it's not the thing outside of you. It's not the fact that your kid is a picky eater. It's your thoughts about your kid being a picky eater. You think that it's a problem that he's a picky eater. You think that you're doing something wrong and that's why he's a picky eater. You did something wrong when you were pregnant. You didn't eat enough foods, or you didn't introduce enough foods, variety of foods when they were like first getting solids and when they were toddlers, and now they're a picky eater and it's all your fault, and they're going to go to school and they're never going to have anything to eat at the cafeteria and they're going to end up with an eating disorder. Like all these things that our catastrophizing brains do, those thoughts are what's stressing you out. Not the fact that your kid is a little picky. Your kid does like some things. Obviously they're still alive. They have to be eating something. Work on your thoughts, because then you won't be so stressed out and you'll be in a position to critically think and evaluate with curiosity and not judgment on yourself, and figure out what it is that your kid does like. Figure out how you're going to meal plan with this tiny human with a completely different palate than yours. It's just different than what you're used to. It's not a problem. It's okay. You're going to figure it out. But you have to believe that you're going to be able to figure it out before you can figure it out. And that is why coaching yourself, learning how to coach yourself, learning thought work tools is invaluable. You are the common denominator in your life. And when I fully accepted that for myself, it changed everything. It changed everything. It put me in the driver's seat instead of keeping me in the victim seat. I truly thought that my depression, my misery, my just hard life was because of my circumstances, was because of other people around me, was because of their decisions and choices that affected me. And I had no choice and no autonomy and no authority. And I just had to do the best I could with what shit was thrown at me. I truly believed that. And most of you believe that. And that's why I started this company. That's why I do the work that I do, because it's not true. And nobody knows that it's not true. Not enough of us know that that's not true. You are the common denominator in your life, which is very humbling news, but it's also the best news in the world. It's the best news in the world because you can actually do something about it. You can do something about your shitty thoughts. I know how to do it. And I'm here to help you. There are other life coaches who are out there ready to help you with your thoughts. And once you learn how to do that, it's true power, because it doesn't matter what circumstances you're in. It doesn't matter if your spouse wants a divorce. It doesn't matter if your kid gets a really hard diagnosis. It doesn't matter if you lose your job, if you lose your house. It doesn't matter if you find yourself in a position where you have to move across the country away from everybody that you know and love, and you have to start your life all over again. None of it matters, because you know how to get through it, because you've learned how to manage your mind, and your mind is what's creating your experience for you. We can't control life. We can't control the curveballs that get thrown our way. We can't control other people's choices that affect us. But we can 100% control our experience of those events. And that is so much more valuable than me giving you another parenting hack to try. That's not going to work, because I haven't taught you yet. I haven't first taught you how to manage your own mind and your own feelings, how to create your own value as a mom. We moms spend so much time hustling our way to value, hustling our way to worth and value. And we get heartbroken day in and day out because we're looking at our family to give us that validation. We want them to look at everything that we do and just know that they're supposed to give us that validation and say, thank you so much. I see everything that you do and we wouldn't be here without you. And they don't do that because it's actually not their job. It's your job to create that for yourself, but you don't know that yet. And you get heartbroken and you get depressed and resentment builds up inside of you towards your partner, towards your kids. So I'm not interested in teaching you parenting hacks. I'm interested in teaching you how to reclaim your own authority in yourself, how to reclaim your mind. Because when you do that, you'll be able to figure out what parenting thing works for you and for your kid. Because I don't know your kid. You know your kid. You just need to be able to trust yourself and stop outsourcing your authority. Because we do that all the time, day in and day out. We're just outsourcing our authority. We're looking for the next authority figure, the next specialist to tell us what to do. Because we believe, it's another belief, we believe that we don't know and we can't figure it out. That feels horrible to believe that. It feels horrible. And it's not true. That is what I'm here to teach you. I hope you liked this episode. I hope it gave you a lot to think about. I hope that you go watch the Eras Tour because it's so good and entertaining and inspiring. And I hope that you let me know what you thought of this episode and what you would like to see on future episodes in the review section of Apple Podcasts or the Q&A section of Spotify. When you do this, it is a fucking game changer for this little podcast. Okay. Our world is run by algorithms. It just is what it is. And we need to let the algorithm know what we like and what we don't like. And so when you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, you can do it for every single episode. Same for the Q&A section on Spotify. You're telling those two platforms, those two major platforms, this podcast is valuable. So when other women are searching for a space to be a woman, to be a mom, they can find me. And when you do that, leave your Instagram handle in there or like take a snapshot and DM me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, and I will automatically enter you into my monthly book and Starbucks gift card raffle. Because I like to pay it forward, just like Taylor Swift. I wish I could give you guys $1 million bonus, but I can't. I can give you a book and a Starbucks gift card though. One step at a time, guys. And speaking of algorithms, that is the main reason why I encourage people to join my email list. Because if you follow me on social media, that's great. Thank you so much. And I hope that the content is helpful to you. But just because you follow somebody does not mean that you're going to actually see their stuff because of the algorithm. And I personally hate emails. I had a lot of thoughts about starting my own email newsletter because I was like, the last fucking thing a mom wants is a goddamn email. It's another email. But signing up for the email, the Fuck It Mothering email newsletter is you reclaiming your authority over the algorithm. Because that is for sure 100% guaranteed going to find you every single Monday. And it's going to be packed with encouragement, hilarity, lots of funny stories, but mostly encouragement and thought work tips and tools. And you can hit reply and ask me questions and I will get back to you right away. And it's just a way for you to curate the online experience that you want. Because so many of us get caught up in mindless scrolling and I get it. Like I do it too. But mindless scrolling doesn't feed your soul. And I think it's really important to build your inputs with intentionality because we are so like oversaturated with inputs in this day and age. And if we're not careful, we're not even choosing the inputs anymore. We're letting a robot choose the inputs. Wouldn't you rather choose the inputs? And so if you sign up for the email newsletter, you'll also get my free time management guide called Shit, Today Was PJ Day. It's funny and it's also very useful. That's my specialty. Funny and useful. I love you guys. I hope you're having a fucking fantastic week. And if you're not, I'm giving you a virtual hug right now. It's going to be okay. It does not mean that tomorrow is also going to be shit. Tomorrow could be the day that it starts to turn around. Hang in there. I'll see you guys next week.
Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.